In the name of our Lenten Lord, Amen. Our text for this happy occasion of ordination anniversaries is that just read from the prophet Jeremiah, and we'd like to focus particularly on the opening and closing phrases of that lesson. Moreover, Jeremiah states, "The Lord made it known to me, and I knew it." And a bit later, "To thee, O Lord, have I committed my cause." Students, fellow colleagues, staff, and particularly you, the honorees, on this occasion. Jeremiah, the prophet who announced and then lamented the destruction of Jerusalem. That prophet who made himself such a pest that a number of his peers and finally the royal family wanted to slay him. That prophet whom the Lord used to gather a remnant, and that remnant in turn had to whisk him away to Egypt for safekeeping. What would he have looked like? What mannerisms would he have displayed? Now, you might think that I've been reading too much Tolkien to my children, but occasionally when I sit out in those pews, I reflect on what it would be like if some morning prayer we would have come down the center aisle of the nave, the company of the prophets. The apostolic college lining up like our honorees have done this morning. What would that look like? Well, I claim no expertise, but having read and loved their works, these men of Palestine, men like Moses who had spent 40 years in the desert, men like Amos who had been a raiser of cattle and a sheepherder, I suspect that they would look far more like Clint Eastwood than the Archbishop of Canterbury. Now, maybe when you saw the honorees walk in this morning, there were associations with men of might and power that aren't unlike those that the people of God would have had when they saw Jeremiah coming over the hill on his way to Jerusalem. In fact, I'm reminded of that perception when a recent graduate sent me a letter from his parish in Wyoming inviting me to preach and go on an elk hunt, but the address on the envelope read, "Professor Dean Wenthe, Director of Persecutions." It's interesting to hypothesize. The prophets must have been a richly diverse group. For example, when I read the prophet Ezekiel, and when you behold the symmetry, the order of his oracles, it's not unlikely that his office would have imitated Dr. Rosine's, where every book is properly positioned. Whereas when I read Jeremiah, and the rather extemporaneous method of his address, I'm reminded more of the mysterious disarray of Dr. Scare's office. Or perhaps think of Professor McKenzie as a sort of Baruch trying to bring order to the prophet's oracles. One could easily associate Dr. Klug with Ezra, for just as Ezra quotes Moses with such relish, Dr. Klug quotes Luther. Dr. Carter may have associations with Solomon and his continuing education through Proverbs. Or Dr. Preuss could descend to us from the northern woods of Minnesota like Moses from Sinai, not with the Torah in his hand, but another book on the theologians of Lutheran Orthodoxy. Well, I would like to suggest that however much fun such hypothetical reconstructions might be, ultimately, they would not be the proper way to honor either the prophets or the ordination anniversaries of our distinguished professors and colleagues. No, though we could catalog all the accomplishments of the prophets and apostles, and though we could spend a good time this morning chronicling the many achievements of these men, think of how many sermons, how many baptisms, how many lectures, how many private absolutions have been pronounced by these six. Yet I'd like to say that this would in actuality detract from their true character and standing among us. No, in a strange way, I'd like to suggest that we honor Jeremiah and these men not by rehearsing their achievements, but by reducing them to their essential character. Jeremiah does that in our text. He says, "The Lord made it known to me, and I knew it. And to thee, O God, have I committed my cause." Jeremiah reduced himself to a servant of Yahweh. And he realized that his greatness had been that of a pure gift. It was the gift God gave him when he said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." I would submit that the greatness of these men is very similar. In fact, I would like to reduce it to one word: baptism. Their confirmation, their ordination, their many manifold contributions to the kingdom, these all attest and point to that reality which for them and for us all will forever remain a gift: the glorious status of being incorporated into Christ. The gift of sonship, the gift of righteousness, the gift of all Christ's benefits. These were conferred upon us all and upon these men in water and the Word. Like the life of Jeremiah, everything from that point remains commentary. It's important commentary for us to see, and it's a blessing to witness it. But nonetheless, the truest and greatest honor for these men remains there at the beginning. They, with Jeremiah, deserve our respect and gratitude for continually holding not themselves, but Christ before us. Jeremiah knew that God was profoundly for him. He knew that in the most difficult days, God's disposition toward Israel was pro nobis, for us. And that's why, when his enemies were vanquished, when Jerusalem lay in ruins, he did not chuckle and say, "I told you so." He went out and he wept. He wept because he knew that Yahweh loved David's city, and that already in certain prophecy, David's son had absorbed the judgment blows of God's wrath, so that now all this terrible destruction was unnecessary. And Jeremiah, over and over, pointed people to the God who was for them, even as our colleagues have held up Christ pro nobis, for us, profoundly, permanently, and perpetually. So, ordination might be called the public display of the baptismal reality, where these men took that reality and became stewards of it in Christ's place, now themselves baptizing and announcing the pro nobis character of God's love in Christ for us, as Jeremiah did for his people. Whatever our looks or our lifestyles, the genius of servants of Christ is to hold up Christ. And our colleagues have done that with variety and creativity, and in that, I would submit, is their greatest gift and greatest service. We thank these men, and we honor them in the words of the poet, "Lord Jesus, who art come, a teacher sent from heaven, and by both word and deed God's truth to us hast given. Thou wisely hast ordained the holy ministry, that we thy flock may know the way to God through thee." May God grant these men and us all of the ordained holy ministry many more years of holding up the crucified Lord. Amen.